Well, it's very nice to be with you again for the preaching of the gospel. And it's always nice to be here amongst friends. I want to read tonight three scriptures with you, please. The first you'll find is in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6 and verse number 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 6 and verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now over, please, to Gospel of Luke. In chapter number 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 14. And a fairly well-known story in verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now we're pleased to the final reading in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter number 5. And verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we know that God will bless to us reading from these fairly familiar portions from God's precious word. And really, upon my mind this evening is just that little expression, or that little word, I should say, is yet. Yet. And when we look at the first scripture, it's very interesting to see that we have in it the providence of God. Because it's interesting to see that when we look at creation itself, that God provides even for the very birds of the air. And I think it's a very interesting thing. But yet we must remember that with all of that, we are yet so much more important. Because we read that little expression in verse number 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Wonderful to think that with all of the things that are going on, yet our heavenly Father feedeth them. And when we come to Luke's Gospel in chapter 14, we have little word yet again. And we know the story how it is told of the invitation that's given out. But the expression that the servant says, Lord, we have done all of that, yet there is room. Yet there is room. And while we have the providence of God in the first expression, I believe we have the invitation of God in the second. And when we come to the third reading in Romans chapter 5, that lovely verse, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And when we look upon that verse, I believe it's really a warning to us all that we're sinners. We're all sinners by nature. But yet, when we look upon it, Christ died for the ungodly. That's a lovely expression. And let us never forget it. Christ died for the ungodly. And if there be any in our meeting tonight who has never, ever had an experience with God of saving grace, we're thankful we can tell you tonight, with all authority, that Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Now, let us look at these verses in detail. As I read this verse this afternoon in Matthew's Gospel, I think, as I looked around in this present climate, it's very interesting to see at this time of the year the little birds. Just a few weeks ago, my son and his children moved into our house because they're waiting in their own house. And I thought the little ones would really enjoy to see the little birds. So I went out and I invested in a little bird table. And it's very interesting to look out and observe that these little birds, they come and they take up their food. But another thing I noticed that there was other birds that came and they took food and they took it away with the whole expression that they're going home to feed their young. And I think there's a wonderful expression here that when we look about all of these things, that the fowls of the air and they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I think that's wonderful. I sometimes look upon those little creatures, especially in the wintertime, those little robins, those little birds. And you see how they care for themselves. Isn't it wonderful that every one of them are in the hands of God? I think that's a wonderful thought. That when we look upon how that the creatures of the air, they are looked after by God Himself. And the Bible would remind us that there's not one sparrow will fall to the ground that my Heavenly Father doesn't know about. So tonight, dear friends in our meeting, wonderful to think that when we think of the providence of God, He provides for every single creature under His hand. And throughout the universe tonight, everything is in the control of God. But yet we're reminded, and this little expression, are ye not much better than they? You see, brothers and sisters, and dear friends in our meeting, when we look upon this creation, and we look at the very handiwork of God, we even look at the flowers of the field, and we look at the beauty of creation, and yet the scriptures remind us, are ye not much better than they? I'm saddened sometimes when I look at the attitude of men to other fellow creatures. I can't believe it sometimes that even, I think it was just maybe Friday or Saturday, a young man in London was gunned down and two of his friends, but one died, 36 years of age. no respect for life. That's really the society we're living in. But yet when we think of the God of eternity, the God of heaven, who has his hand upon all things, we must remind ourselves, we are much better even than the animal creation. I want to be simple. And you were to try and ask me, now what is the difference between the animal creation and human beings? What's the difference between the animal creation, the birds and the all of those animals in God's creation, and human life, human beings? Well, the Bible makes it very clear the difference. Because we know that those created animals in the world, they don't have a living soul. The Bible tells us that. Because it says, as far as man was concerned, that God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And I honestly believe tonight, and my Bible assures me, that when a creature, a bird, an animal, when it dies, that's the end of it. Finished. But when a human being dies, that's not the end, that's just the beginning. Because eternity is before them. And that's the difference between the animal creation, and I believe the expression here, are ye not much better than they? The reason they are better is because they have a soul that's going to live throughout eternity. And if there be any in our meeting tonight that are not saved, I'd like to impress this upon you in the gospel meeting, that you have to face eternity, and eternity where? When we say farewell to this world, and I'm sure every one of us tonight in the meeting have looked death straight in the face and have asked ourselves the question, where is that person? The child of God who has left a testimony behind, who is saved by the grace of God, can be absolutely convinced in their mind that they're with Christ, which is far better. Why is that? Because their soul has been entrusted to God. Because they have realized in their lifetime that they have a soul that's going to live throughout eternity, and they've put their faith and trust in God's beloved Son. It's really sad in the day in which we live that many people think that we're just like the animal creation. I would say now, if you went round New Cumnock tonight, and I was to go round Kilwinning, and you were asked in the question that when a person dies, where are they? I would say there'd be a large proportion of people in Kilwinning says, I don't know. But there'd be also a large proportion of people in, or I said, New Cumnock or Kilwinning, I believe they would say, that's the end. Finished. My dear soul tonight, it's sad. It's not. Because the Bible makes it very clear, when God opens the door and lets us look into eternity, as it were, and we read of a story of two men who died, it says that one died and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. It says that another man, and when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Putting that in simple terms, dear friend, one died and they were in heaven. The other died and they were in hell. That is the decision that you have to make, where I'm going to be when I die. Because we're not like the animal creation. And while God has provided for the animal creation, he has provided for human beings much better. What has he provided? He has provided his own Son to die for us upon the cross. You see, when we think of it tonight, we're all sinners. And I care not who you are in the meeting tonight. Every one of us, every single one of us, never deserved to be in heaven. Not one of us. Because tonight, in our gospel meeting, we went astray the very moment we were born. We set off in a pathway because of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, we have all sinned. And because of our sin, we deserve the wrath and judgment of God. What does the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. And tonight in our gospel meeting, not one of us deserves to have eternal life. Every one of us deserves a lost eternity. But I'm glad tonight that God has done something for us. He did something that human beings couldn't do. Because there was no man or woman or boy or girl could ever make themselves fit for heaven alone. They needed a Savior. And when we talk about a Savior, they needed someone who was righteous and holy. They needed someone who had the power to take away sin. They needed someone who had the authority to remove sin, to take away the penalty of sin. And the only person that could do that was God. And how could he do it? Through the death of his Son upon the cross. That's the only person that could take away sin. And tonight in our gospel meeting, we are so much better than the animal creation. We are so much better in that God has given his only Son. He has provided for us a means of salvation, a means of getting to heaven through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me this. Do you know him as your Savior tonight? Can you go back in your lifetime when you took God at his word, realized that you were guilty in the sight of God, realized that another has died for your sins, and tonight, what a providence God has provided. He has given his own Son to die upon the cross that we might be saved. Praise God tonight, Christ died. Praise God tonight, he is the Savior of this world. And tonight, when we look upon the very animal creation, we must remember that God has provided for it. But he has provided much more for us. When we come to our second one, that little expression is really an expression that's lovely. When the master said to, when the servant said to the master, "Master, we have done as thou hast commanded, but yet there is room." Isn't it great to come to, you come tonight and say there's still room. Still room. Isn't it wonderful to think that in the providence of God, that God can still provide for sinners in 2010. You know, many times when you go to certain places or you try to get to a certain place, you ring up and, "I'm sorry, it's fully booked." Sometimes it happens when you try to plan your holidays and you ring up and you try to get a certain date. "I'm sorry, full." But here we have the providence of God in that there's still room. Now let us look at this little parable. Because when we think of it, God had provided for these people to come. He had made a great feast. The supper was spread. All of the things that God wanted the people to enjoy. All the things that the man had really wanted the people to enjoy. The master. Everything was provided. The next thing was that the servants had to go out and say, "Well, come. Come. Come and taste of the supper." You know, you think of the extremities that the man went to in providing for all of the people. You think for a moment now, what did he feel like whenever people said, "No, sorry, I'm not coming"? What did they say? First of all, we have three excuses here. First of all, the one says, "I have bought a piece of ground. I can't come. I must needs go and see it." Another said, "I have married a wife. I can't come." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must needs go and see them." You see, beginning to make an excuse. Again, I want to say this. We're living in a world today when men are making loads of excuses. If you ask them to come to a gospel meeting, some people now just say, "Oh, come. but they don't. Other people, when they invite them, well, I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I'm busy. I wonder tonight, is there someone in the gospel meeting making an excuse of why they're not saved? You see, some of these days, all the excuse will be not taken into account. Some of these days, when the invitation will go out for the last time, and when we think of these people, they said, I cannot come. I want to think of a few things. There was no appreciation in the part of the people who were invited of what they were invited to. No appreciation of the extremities that the man went to. The master went to provide a feast for them. Isn't that the same with God's salvation? Boys and girls and men and women of the day have no appreciation of what God has done for them. I want to say this in passing. I know I'm digressing somewhat, but there will be a day when they will appreciate it. It'll be too late. There'll be a day coming whenever they end up in a lost eternity and they'll have to confess, I was invited to heaven. And they would see the blessings of heaven, and yet they would have to confess, that's what God invited me to, but I put it off. They will have to confess that God gave them every opportunity to come in for the blessing of salvation, and yet, they will have to say, I was invited, and yet I did not come. Dear friends, tonight, as I said earlier, some of these days the invitation will go out for the last time. It might even be tonight. This could be the last opportunity for the people of Newcomnock and Kilwinning to hear the gospel preached. So someone, what's going to happen? Well, I'll tell you, the opportunity will be gone. God will bring down the curtain and the invitation will be gone, because the Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven and he's going to take from the world those that are saved, and the door of opportunity will be closed. The day of opportunity will be gone, and of the people in this country who were invited, they made excuse. And even though the cry went out, yet there is room, they turned their back upon God. So someone will heaven be full. Whenever the time comes, will the marriage feast and all that God has provided, will every seat be taken? I believe it will. Because I believe that there's people who should have been there, and they turn God's offer of salvation down. But yet, God's house will be filled. The question I would like to ask you then, will you be there? I wonder if I would round the meeting tonight and ask every single person, have you got your invitation? Well, I'll tell you this, everyone's received the invitation. I want to ask them the second question. Have you replied to the invitation? Have you accepted it? Because there's one thing to receive the invitation. There's one thing to receive it, but it's another thing to accept it. You know, sometimes when an invitation comes to whatever it might be, a meeting or a marriage or whatever, there's sometimes we're a wee bit careless now, aren't we? We put it on the mantelpiece and say, now I must deal with that sometime. Just last week, I had made an appointment to go to the doctor, and I think it was 10 past 11, and I was sitting in the office and my wife comes to me and says, should you not have been at the doctor? This was 11:15. Yes, the invitation was there. And I said, I forgot. You see, it wasn't a high priority. It was left to the one side. And thankful I got to the appointment thankfully, as doctors do sometimes, they run a wee bit late, you know what I mean? But I got to the appointment. But tonight, I want to say this, dear friends. God wants you to respond to the invitation now. No guarantee the invitation will be there tomorrow, because we are thankful that while the servant can come and say, Master, we have done all of these things, yet there is room. No guarantee there will be room tomorrow. No guarantee we'll ever preach the gospel in this hall again. I know our brother made an announcement for the meetings throughout the week, but he did say, if the Lord will. And I want to say this, dear friend, tonight in the gospel meeting. If you want to be sure of a home in heaven, you need to receive the invitation tonight. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. So, we have the invitation of God. It's also interesting to see that the Lord makes a statement. He says, I'm going to tell you this. He says that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. They turned their back on the master. They turned their back on the servant. They turned their back on all of the provision that had been made. And tonight, wouldn't it be an awful sad of business that there might be someone in our gospel meeting that says, I know I've been invited. And perhaps in the back of your mind you say, I want to heed the invitation, but not tonight. Let me tell you this. If you want to be sure of a home in heaven, tonight's the night. Not tomorrow. Tonight is the day of opportunity. How can I receive the invitation, says someone? Well, just come as a guilty sinner. You need to come and confess before God your sinfulness, and thank God for the invitation that He's given to you of receiving His Son, of accepting the gift that He's given, the gift of His Son. You see, dear friend, tonight, salvation is not difficult. I believe in our own minds we make it very difficult. I can remember going through the difficulties in my own life as a young boy. I would believe about the Lord Jesus. I would believe that He died on the cross. But I never really realized that He died for me. That's the difference. By simply accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, realizing that on the cross of Calvary, Christ died for my sins. That's the warning that God brings to you tonight, dear friends. And when we look upon Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You might ask the question, who's the ungodly? It's not a term that any one of us like. And there's people really get upset when you speak to them as ungodly. But I tell you, there's no man or woman ever going to be in heaven except they have admitted before God that they were ungodly. Now, you may think that's a mouthful, but I'm telling you the truth tonight. Every man and woman and boy and girl that's saved by the grace of God will have to confess before God that they were ungodly. They were sinners. There's no means of salvation without confessing to God our sinfulness, our own sinful nature, our own, what could I say, evil before God. We have a nature that's against God. And dear friend, tonight, if we don't get that matter dealt with, if we don't get our sinfulness dealt with, we can never be in heaven. But we're thankful tonight, for when we were yet without strength, even though we were yet without strength, no help in ourselves, in our own sinfulness, those five little words, Christ died for the ungodly. If you accepted Him tonight, because remember, God warns us in His Word that if we don't accept Him, we're going to be lost. if we don't receive the forgiveness of sins, if we don't come as a lost and guilty sinner, we're going to perish in our sin. Tonight in our gospel meeting, dear friend, let me again remind you. Let me again remind you that you need to receive him tonight. For without receiving this invitation from God, you're going to be lost and lost eternally. You see, some people would say, now, if Christ died for the ungodly, you tell us that Christ died for the sins of the world, why are we not all saved? You've heard that expression over and over again. If God's a God of love, why is it that we have to do something? Well, I want to say this, dear friend. God wants us to receive. That's all he wants us to do. To receive the gift of God. To receive the fact that we were sinful, we were ungodly, and that because Christ died, we come and receive the gift of life. You see, there's a woman in the Bible, a woman who it says had an issue of blood. And you know, her one desire, even though she had spent all of her living, all of her money that she had, she spent it, and she had went to all the physicians of the world. Not one of them can heal her. But she knew of a man that could. Who did she come to? She came to the Lord Jesus. And it says, as far as that woman was concerned, she just but touched the very hem of his garment and was healed. My friend, tonight I want to tell you, if you were to come, if you want salvation, I'm going to put it in a different way. If you want salvation, God will not hold it back from you. That's the difference. If you want to be saved, God is willing to save you. What's it dependent on? It depends on you coming to him. There'll be no conscripts in heaven. And just because your loved ones, your mother or father or grandmother and grandmother, because they're saved, no guarantee you're going to be in heaven. I learned that as a young boy. And remember this, dear friend, even though that you, there might even be those who have husbands or wives who are saved by the grace of God, I want to say this, just because they're saved, no guarantee you're going to be in heaven. So what am I saying? Salvation is individual. The sinner who comes and puts their trust in the Lord Jesus, God is willing to save them. He's willing to save them and place them in heaven at the end of life journey. You see, this world in which we live, oh, we can enjoy it. But I tell you this, we can enjoy it much better when we're saved by the grace of God. How can we enjoy it much better? Because we know that our sins are all been dealt with. We know that we have got the wonderful cure for our sins in that Christ has died for us upon the cross. And because he has died, he has removed the penalty of sin and we have guaranteed a home in heaven. So let us look at them and then I'm finished. The providence of God. When we look upon it tonight in this lovely verse in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, behold the fowls of the air, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Yet, you're so much better than they. When we come to the invitation as given, we look upon the servant saying to the master, we've done all of these things, yet there is room. And then we come to that last little expression, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I wonder tonight, is this going to be a date that you can mark up on the calendar? When you took your place before God as ungodly, as a sinner in his sight, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and was saved for all eternity. Dear friend, tonight, don't trifle with your soul. Don't put it off. Don't again say, well, I'm going to get saved sometime, but Not tonight. I get saved. Not tonight. Again, I'm going to remind you, this could be the last time. This could be the last time we'll ever hear the invitation given out. You're not saved. You're just sitting in the very precipice of a lost eternity. To go over the edge and into a lost eternity. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Shall we pray? Our Father, in the worthy and precious name of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus, we come before Thee and thank Thee for the opportunity we've had to read Thy Word and to proclaim the message of salvation. We're thankful again for this testimony here in New Cumbernauck and for the brethren and sisters that really have a desire to reach out to the hearts and minds of those who live in this village. And we pray tonight that they'll remember everyone, even though there's many who have never come into this hall. We would pray for their souls, and we pray that they might come to know Christ as their Saviour. We pray for the audience tonight, and we pray if there be any who are not saved, that tonight they might come to put their trust in Thy Son for salvation. Remember Thy saints in this meeting. We pray that Thou put Thy hand upon them, and even they might be encouraged as they hear the gospel preached tonight. And what a joy it is to tell forth this good news of salvation, and again to reinforce the salvation in which we have got, and that we're dependent upon Christ for eternity. Look upon us now as we journey. We pray that I will put Thy good hand upon us and give us journey mercies. For we ask it in the worthy name of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, thank you for listening, and we'll close our meeting by singing a couple of verses of 250. Two verses of 250. Once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? Verses 1 and 3, just remaining seated of 250.